Hallelujah. Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. As we gather today, there's an undercurrent of anticipation in the air. We're standing on the threshold of the fall feast, Yom Teruah, also known as Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, a time when the Lord calls us to remember, reflect, and above all, to wait with expectation for what he's about to do. At the start of this season, I want to talk about a phrase we hear all the time, but often struggle to live out: waiting on the Lord. In our world, it feels like wasted time. We're wired for instant gratification. Press a button, get a result. The biblical idea of waiting is different. It's not passive. It's not lazy. It's not giving up. It's an active, engaged, faith-filled expectation. And especially as messianic believers, people who believe in Yeshua, that he is the Messiah, and who keep the feast as rehearsals of the redemption story, waiting is at the very heart of our faith. Let's invite the Ruach HaKodesh to open our hearts as we explore what it means to wait on the Lord, not just in theory, but in the nitty-gritty of our lives and in this prophetic season. Our Father and King, we come before you today with open hearts, seeking your truth and your presence. We have declared who you are in our worship today. And as we enter your appointed times, we ask that you teach us what it means to truly wait on you, not with anxiety or frustration, but with hope, trust, and active faith. Speak to us through your word. Let us hear your voice and sense your spirit moving. I've already done that. As we began our worship today, I felt your presence strong in this place. I thank you for filling the house. Holy Spirit, we dedicate this time to you. Yeshua, our Messiah and Redeemer, speak through me. Let the words I teach today come from your heart. You are the teacher. Teach through me. In your precious name I pray. Amen. So let's start with the basics. In Hebrew, the word for wait is kava. It doesn't mean sitting idly. It's a word that carries the sense of being entwined, twisted together like strands of a rope. It means to hope expectantly, to look forward with confidence, to be bound up in the Lord's promises. I'm thinking now of a verse that says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. So that's when we partner together with God. Usually it's in the context of marriage, where a husband and a wife are becoming one, and God is entwined with them. So there's a threefold cord there that's not easily broken. And when God is at the center of any relationship, it should stand strong. Amen? So this is like waiting right here. It's like entwining with God, wrapping ourselves together with him. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Notice it doesn't say those who wait will get bored and tired. No, it says they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And during the running and the walking, they'll be strengthened and renewed. Why? Because biblical waiting is active. It's a choice to keep hoping, keep believing, keep moving, even when you don't see the answer yet. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this. Because sometimes you start to get weary. You feel like you're about ready to faint, especially after the month I've had in August. with all the hits in every area of my life, it gets tiresome. Amen? But the Lord promises that if I run with him, if I walk in the light of his Holy Spirit, I will not grow weary. I will not faint. And he will strengthen me. So it's a call to keep moving forward. Keep believing. Keep hoping. Even when we don't see the answer yet. Amen? In Jewish tradition, waiting is seen as a form of faith. It's a declaration. Yahweh, I trust your timing more than my own. And for us as Messianic believers, it means aligning our hearts with the prophetic timeline of God. We know Yeshua has come once, and we wait for him to come again. Every feast, every prayer, every act of obedience is a thread in that rope of hope. Are you waiting for a breakthrough in your health, your family, your finances, your calling? Waiting on the Lord means refusing to give up. It means praying, worshiping, serving, and believing that Yahweh is working even when you can't see it. It means letting your hope be stronger than your doubt. Waiting in the Bible is never portrayed as sitting on your hands. Think of a waiter in a restaurant. They're not just standing around. They're attentive, ready to act, looking for ways to serve. That's the image the scripture gives us. Luke 12:35-37 says, "Let your belt be strapped on and your lamps burning. Be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding celebrations, so that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Happy are those slaves whose master finds them alert when he comes." Yeshua calls us to be ready, to be serving, to be about the Father's business while we wait for the fulfillment of his promises. Even Yeshua himself, as he waited for his hour, was always serving, always moving with purpose. David was anointed king, but he spent years running, fighting, leading, worshiping. Waiting didn't mean doing nothing. It meant doing the next right thing, even when the throne seemed far away. Are you in a season of waiting? Don't check out of life. Serve in your congregation. Volunteer in your community. Use your gifts. Encourage someone else who's struggling. Waiting is not an excuse for passivity. It's a call to action. As you serve, you'll find Yahweh shaping you for the answer you're waiting for. Amen? Sometimes, waiting is the hardest thing because it feels like nothing is happening. Like your prayers are going unanswered and your dreams are stuck in neutral. But in God's kingdom, the waiting room is never a place of wasted time. It's a training ground. It's where character is shaped, where pride is stripped away, and where faith grows deep roots that can withstand any storm. Waiting on the Lord is not idleness. It's the place where he works behind the scenes, developing in us the strength, humility, and wisdom needed for the next season. Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still before Adonai and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over one prospering in his way, over one carrying out wicked schemes." So many, especially in the United States, are so worried about the wicked ones in politics, in Washington, in around the country, carrying out diabolical political nonsense. They're worried. They're stressed. All over Facebook, all over the social media feeds, people throwing all kinds of stuff out there. Oh, we got to worry about this. We got to worry about that. have to worry. Who knows what's going on? We pray for our leaders and pray for righteous leaders to arise. And this is the election season in the United States. So this is the time when Christians, the church, needs to be praying and going out and voting and looking for those righteous leaders to be raised up. Amen? David knew what it meant to wait. He was anointed as a young man, but spent years in the wilderness before he ever wore the crown. Those years weren't wasted. They were necessary. In lonely caves and on dangerous battlefields, David learned to worship when no one was watching, to depend on God when his circumstances looked hopeless, and to let God fight his battles instead of taking matters into his own hands. His waiting was God's way of preparing him for the responsibility and influence he would later carry. I know I've learned this lesson when I've been in dark places and times of being alone and going through things, and only my worship saved me and got me out of that pit, got me out of that dark place. I know I've shared before the testimony of when I was going through female issues, and I one day was in so much pain. I was on the floor. I couldn't even get up off the floor. I was in so much pain. Some people working up the road had cut the phone lines, and nobody was home except for me. And I had no way to reach out for help. And I cried out to the Lord, and he said, "Worship me." It was very difficult through the pain, but I gritted my teeth and I began to worship him. And the more I worshiped, the less the pain became, until it wasn't very long before the pain was totally gone. And he taught me how to worship our way out of situations. And that's something that David learned as well. And so we don't need to fret over one prospering. We need to focus on the Lord. If we're going through something, worship our way out of it. Amen? Paul reminds us in Romans 5 that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. It's often in the waiting, when we feel overlooked or delayed, that Yahweh is doing his most important work in us. He is building endurance, shaping our hearts, and teaching us to cling to hope even when we can't see the end from the beginning. We sang that song about Waymaker today. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, he is working. Amen? One of my favorite songs. I love to sing that because a lot of times I feel like nothing's happening. And then I sing that song and I'm reminded, even if I don't see it, even if I don't feel it, he is working behind the scenes on my behalf. And I just have to trust him and wait on his timing for things. Amen? If you find yourself in a season when nothing seems to be moving, take heart. The waiting is never wasted. Use this time to press into God's word, to develop deeper spiritual disciplines, to grow in prayer, and to cultivate a heart of gratitude for the little things. I have so much to be thankful for. What about you? I got food on my table every day. I have plenty of clothes in my closet. I have a nice bed to sleep in at night. I have a nice house. Yes, there's a lot of maintenance that has to be done, but I'm not living in the street. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's still some money in the bank. All the bills are getting paid, and there's still money in the bank. Hallelujah. I'm not broke. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Yeshua. Let's thank him for the little things and the big things. We used to sing that song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." Sometimes we just have to sit and count our blessings. Turn our focus to the positive and away from the negative. The Lord will refine you. Let him. Removing what doesn't belong and strengthening what does, that is what he does best in his presence. So when that answer doesn't come, let the Lord refine you. Sit in his presence. Let him remove those things, the tares and the chaff. Let him burn them up, blow them away, so that what remains is refined gold. Amen? And that way, when the answer does come, you're ready to steward it well. Amen? And resist the urge to compare your timeline with anyone else's. Your journey with God is unique. Amen? Trust that he knows the right time and that the lessons you learn in the waiting will serve you for a lifetime. That's what we fall into, that crap sometimes, where we think, why are they seem to be moving forward so fast? Why are they being raised up so quickly? What about me? I've been praying for this for years. And look, they're already there. They're so much younger than me. And they're already doing so much and getting so many blessings. And I'm struggling. But your journey is your journey. Their journey is their journey. And we can't compare ourselves one to another. Amen? There's another dimension to waiting on the Lord, especially as we enter the high holy days. We're not just waiting for personal answers. We're waiting for the redemption of all things. Our waiting is prophetic. It's about being watchmen on the walls, interceding, standing in the gap, and partnering with Yahweh for the fulfillment of his promises. Isaiah 62:6-7 says, "On your walls, Jerusalem, I have set watchmen. All day and all night, they will never hold their peace. You who remind Adonai, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Anna and Simeon in the temple waited for decades to see the Messiah. Their waiting wasn't passive. They prayed, fasted, and watched. And when Yeshua arrived, they recognized him. As we approach the fall feasts, we're reminded that these are not just traditions, but prophetic appointments, mohadim, set times, set by the Lord himself. Each feast calls us to watch, pray, and prepare for the return of our King, Yeshua. These are not empty rituals, and they're not Jewish holidays. They're the feasts of the Lord. They're divine invitations to align our hearts with Yahweh's prophetic timeline and be ready for what he is about to do. Let's briefly review each one. Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. It has all these names. This feast is also known as the head of the year. Biblically, it's the day of blasting the shofar, a wake-up call to God's people. Prophetically, it points to the return of Messiah, when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Messiah will be raised. For us as Messianic believers, it's a reminder to stay alert, to repent, and to prepare our hearts for the King's coming. This year, Rosh Hashanah begins at sunset on Friday, September 11th, and ends at sunset on Sunday, September 13th. We will be celebrating it here in my house and see what the Lord has to say to us this year. Seems like every year he says something new to us when we study the feasts out and prepare to celebrate them. This is part of what he's saying to us this year about the waiting. The next one is Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the biblical year. It's a day of fasting, repentance, and reconciliation. In the Torah, it was the one day when the high priest entered the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the people. Since Yeshua has become our atonement, prophetically, it points to the final judgment, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua is Lord. We sang that in worship today as well, didn't we? He is Lord. He is Lord. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. For us, remember that Yeshua, our Messiah, is our high priest and our atonement. We approach this day with humility, repentance, and gratitude for his sacrifice. Amen. This year, Yom Kippur begins at sunset on Sunday, September 20th, and ends at sunset on Monday, September 21st. And if you wish to join us in this holiday, fast and pray from the time, you know, September 20th to September 21st, sunset to sunset. That is our day of repentance and fasting. Amen. I'm not sure if this year I will do it live or put up anything. Sometimes I've done that in the past where I've done a prayer service and I've posted it online. We have to pray about and see what the Lord has us do. And then comes the joy, the feast of joy. Sukkot is a feast of tabernacles. This year, Sukkot begins at sunset on Friday, September 25th, and ends at sunset on Friday, October 2nd. Sukkot is a joyful, week-long celebration of God's provision and presence. Jewish people built temporary shelters to remember how God cared for Israel in the wilderness. For us, Sukkot points forward to the coming Messianic age, a time when, according to the prophets, the Messiah will reign from Jerusalem and God's presence will fill the earth. From a prophetic Messianic perspective, this feast is a rehearsal for the day when Yeshua will return, establish his kingdom, and dwell, tabernacle, that word dwell means tabernacle, among his people. The scriptures teach that this is not just about Messiah reigning, but that those who belong to him, those waiting faithfully, are promised to share in that reign. Revelation 26 says, "Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. They shall be priests of God and of Messiah and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. That's where we get the 1,000-year reign idea from. This verse right here. There's a couple of schools of thought I would just like to briefly go over. There's the premillennial thought, which is most messianic and many evangelical believers hold that Yeshua will physically return to Jerusalem, establish a literal kingdom, and his followers will rule and reign with him during the millennium, 1,000-year reign. But there's those who have an amillennial or postmillennial view. They see that the reign is spiritual, either happening now through the body of Messiah or culminating in a more symbolic way at the end of history. The messianic understanding is almost always literal, and this is the one we hold to. So we look forward to a real physical reign of Yeshua on earth, with the righteous reigning alongside him, just as he promised disciples in Luke 22:29-30, where Yeshua said, "And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, so I grant to you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you shall sit upon thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And in 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." So as we celebrate Sukkot, we're not just looking back. We're looking forward to the fulfillment of the promise that those who are faithful and endure, who wait on the Lord, will share in Messiah's reign. This is our hope, our inheritance, and our joy as we wait for his return. Let me ask you, how can you and I be watchmen in this season? We start by setting aside intentional time to pray for Israel, for the nations, for our families, and for the body of Messiah. Ask the Lord to show you how to intercede and listen for his voice regarding your specific assignment in prayer. If he calls you to stand in the gap, fill a breach in someone's wall, do so with the protection and direction of the Most High. As I've taught before, intercession isn't always about standing in the gap. Sometimes it's about lifting up others before the Lord without bearing their burdens yourself. You don't want to step into spiritual warfare that isn't yours to carry. Unless you know you have Yahweh's covering, do not stand in the gap. So many people, they're interceding and they're calling it standing in the gap. But intercession is not always standing in the gap. Standing in the gap is actually literally stepping into that broken down wall and taking the enemy's fire while they heal and repair that breach. It is not an easy task because you have your own warfare. Now you're taking on somebody else's warfare. That's double warfare. You will be attacked mightily. You had better not say you're standing the gap unless God has called you to stand the gap. Because he calls you, he'll protect you. And he'll give you the strength to go through that season of standing in that gap and helping that person. But we are all called to pray. Pray without ceasing. But standing the gap is a specific type of prayer and intercession. Fast, seek his face, and be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Don't just wait passively for change. Partner with God through prayer and obedience to see his will accomplished. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. As Messianic believers, we live in a unique tension. Yeshua has come. The lamb has been slain. The first fruits have been raised, but not everything is complete. We're still waiting for the final redemption, for the restoration of all things, for the king to return and reign. For the fall feasts remind us of this prophetic hope. Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets, calls us to wake up, to sound the alarm, to prepare for the coming king. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, reminds us for the need for repentance, cleansing, and reconciliation. This is a day when we repent and forgive. If anybody is on your list of, they hurt me, forgive them. That's the day to forgive them. Don't carry that grudge into the new year. Amen? Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, points us to the time when God will dwell with us forever. Yes, it has started now. He dwells with us now. He lives in us. He never leaves us, forsake us. But there is a coming kingdom on the earth where Yeshua will reign from Jerusalem, and we should be reigning with him. Amen? So it's a time of joy. Code. It's a week-long celebration of joy. Amen? Paul writes in Romans 8, 23-25, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our body, for in hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Amen? There's so much in the world today about Jesus is coming back soon. And he is. But there's a different meaning to everybody what soon means. Soon is relative. Soon can mean in a few years. Soon can mean in a few decades. Soon can mean hundreds of years. Because with God, timing has no meaning. He's outside of time. But we should always be ready. And every year, as we keep the feast, we are waiting actively. We are rehearsing the story. We are declaring that Yeshua is coming again. Our waiting is a testimony to the world that Yahweh keeps his promises. This September, as you celebrate the fall feast, let each one be a moment of active waiting. Blow the shofar with expectation. Fast and repent with sincerity. And if you build a sukkah, build it with joy. Invite friends and neighbors. Show them what it means to hope in the one true God. Let your life be a living prophecy of what is to come. Waiting on the Lord is not easy, but it's the very soil where faith grows. It's not about sitting on the sidelines. It's about serving, praying, hoping, and preparing for the fulfillment of Yahweh's promises. As we enter the fall feast, let's be people who wait well, people whose hope is stronger than our fear, whose service is bolder than our doubts, and whose prayers are louder than our complaints. Let's be watchmen. Let's be servants. Let's be prophetic people who wait for Yeshua, knowing he is faithful and his promises never fail. Amen? Let's pray. Abba, thank you for teaching us to wait on you, not with frustration or fear, but with hope and active faith. As ones who don't just stand and look at the sky, but are about the Father's business, advancing his kingdom in our spheres of influence, we confess that waiting is hard, and we trust that your timing is perfect. As we step into the fall feast, awaken our hearts to your prophetic purposes. Make us watchful, prayerful, faithful, and full of hope. Let our lives bear witness to the world that you are the one true God, that Yeshua is our Messiah, and that your promises will come to pass. In your precious name, Yeshua, amen. Well, I sincerely pray this message has encouraged you, especially in the waiting. Now, as you prepare for this coming month of feasts, may there be shalom in your home.